I'm Dennis O'Hare.
And I'm Rose Scott. Retail giant Target made what some are calling a historic decision. Now, the company announced it was phasing out gender-based signage. For example, Target says in the bedding area, signs will no longer feature suggestions for boys or girls, just kids. In the toy aisles, there will be no reference to gender, including the use of pink, blue, yellow, or green paper on the back walls of shelves.
Well, all of this is to help, as the company put it, strike a better balance after complaints from customers. Now, over the years, according to Target, customers say departments like toys, home, or entertainment suggesting products by gender is really unnecessary, but the outrage about gender signage is actually nothing new. 4 years ago, little Riley voiced this complaint. It was videotaped by her dad.
For all the girls to buy princesses and all the boys thrice to buy superheroes.
Well, why?
Because the girls want superheroes and the boys want superheroes. Oh. And the girls want pink stuff and the girls and the boys want and the boys don't want pink stuff.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Boys want both, but why did you think they do that?
Because the companies who make these try to trick the girls into buying the pink stuff instead of stuff that boys want to buy, right?
Right, but you can buy either, right? And boys can buy either. If boys want to buy pink, they can buy pink, right?
Yeah, so then why do all the girls have to buy princesses? Some girls like superheroes, some girls like
She went on.
She kind of sounds like a little Rose Scott at the age of four. Well,
we won't tell what you did to the Barbie doll. Right?
Please, I got an email about that. Riley's rant went viral, and now years later, Target seems to agree that gender-based signage should go away. Well, joining Closer Look to talk more about this is Dr. Nadal Karim. She's a Gender and Empowerment Impact Measurement Senior Advisor at Atlanta-based Care. Dr. Karim, welcome. Thank you for taking the time.
Hello.
I take it you feel this is a good move by Target.
Yes, absolutely.
Why?
So I think, you know, it's really important to think about how when you decouple gender from toys, it opens up options for children and parents and really provides the space for children to explore and develop their interests and their skills in a much more broader way without being constrained by the gender stereotypes that are usually driving the way in which we segregate these toy aisles or the types of toys that we are sending messages to boys and girls about, just as we heard from the little girl that, you know, well, boys want pink too and girls want to play with superheroes too.
You know, in reading various op-eds and articles about this, there was also the notion that this is helpful for transgender kids or young kids who are have some concerns about gender and that whole identity and all of that. So do you agree that this is also helpful for transgender kids?
I agree that it is helpful for transgender kids, but it's also just helpful for kids to have an environment where they're not being stigmatized as they're exploring their gender identity, but also not linking their gender identity with the different types of toys that they feel like they're able to express an interest in. And that's very, you know, I think that's important because overall we know that, you know, as children grow, the kinds of toys that they're exposed to also determines the types of skills they're able to develop. And we can see that, you know, a lot of, there's research that shows that a lot of boys, like toys that are marketed to boys, tend to focus more on cognitive and building skills. And so if those toys are only being marketed to boys, often girls are getting the kind of messaging that's not an area for them to go into. So while it kind of delinks
like
their
Lego building sets and all of that.
Yeah, so Lego has, you know, they did a few years ago start their line of Legos that is more marketed towards girls, which they did get quite a lot of complaints about as well. And I think they as a company have also been trying to kind of look at that and think about, well, we're not really trying to market to girls and boys, but maybe just have more options. So again, going back to Target, that's that notion that, you know, you can have a Lego aisle and it doesn't have to, you know, send the message to a child which of those Legos they should be moving towards or be attracted to, and that they have the freedom.
Because all the Star Wars toys were in the boys' aisle.
Absolutely. Mm.
Let's take a look, though, at where it might get complicated. Mm-hmm. Let's take a company that might be less concerned about whether it puts a gender identity on its audience, but is saying maybe it's trying to put an identity on its toys. For instance, let's say a girl doll that they want to market as feminine, independent, powerful, intelligent. It might put pink backgrounds on its packaging and kind of try to get stores to have a pink setting for it. In other words, saying, look, pink is powerful, and not to demean it. Mm-hmm. So do you run into a complication there when the marketing message may not be exclusionary? It may be saying, look, this is a female character who's got her own identity, and part of that is the color or the suggestion.
Yeah, I think you raise a really interesting point. And, you know, I think it's important to kind of think about how pink, mm-hmm, and the notion that pink is a girl color is also a socially constructed thing, right? And when we look historically even at toys and marketing, we've seen how this whole notion of pink being associated with girls has happened over time. So that's one piece of it where, you know.
And certainly many young women who want to project an image of being independent and powerful have co-opted the pink color and saying, you know, this is part of who we are, and there is something very powerful here.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I think things move in cycles, right? And you have a lot of things where something that was being used to kind of what I see as being oppressive can be owned and taken over.
Isn't that happening to some degree?
I think it is, but I think it also happens where the more we create space where often boys actually get into more trouble when they transgress into feminine spaces, more so than the other way. And we see that where boys are usually bullied more when they are transgressing into what is seen as feminine spaces. And so I think as we think about pink and think about, yes, like it can be powerful, and also broadening that and not linking it to gender makes it not be so contentious, perhaps.
We're speaking with Dr. Nadal Kareem. She's the Gender and Empowerment Impact Measurement Senior Advisor at Atlanta-based CARE. And we're talking about retail giant Target's decision to remove gender-based signage in some specific departments. One may argue, you know what, because of the social media backlash and Target was sort of put on blast, as they say, that maybe they're just really being politically correct. Is that, and this is your opinion, obviously, is that fair? But who doesn't want to be politically correct? And no one wants to be called out. And we all know what social media can do to a business or a company, mm-hmm, in terms of one issue.
So I think, you know, maybe they are trying to be politically correct. I don't know. I'm, you know, not driving
sure.
Target. However, I can see other motivations there as well. From kind of a socially conscious perspective, there's actually negative consequences when we market toys specifically in a gendered way. As I mentioned earlier, when we box children into narrow spaces saying these are the kinds of toys you can play with as a boy, this is what you play with as a girl, we're really narrowing their ability and the ability to see the possibilities of where they can grow and also to express their interests. There's also negative consequences in the sense, so again, there was some research by the National Association for Education with Young Children where they found that most toys for boys are also very kind of on the aggressive, violent side, and a lot of toys for girls are on the side where they're focused on their appearance. And so when we kind of look at those extremities of how we market toys in a gendered way, those are the extremities where we're also marketing toys that have harmful effects on how our children are developing.
Let's talk about how CARE is addressing these issues around gender, particularly around the world, because I imagine that in some countries where the cultural norms regarding acceptance of gender-based roles, how are you all addressing some of that? And how challenging is it? Because you are going up against cultures and traditions that have been around for years.
Absolutely. I mean, I think a very concrete example is we're doing some child marriage prevention work in Nepal and Bangladesh. And in that work, what we've seen is one of the things we did is engage girls and boys in visioning for their future. And what we found is often girls are not even able to envision beyond kind of these traditional reproductive roles in which both their community and like that they're learning is the roles that they can have. But when we really open up the space, while they have aspirations of doing other things, even then they're pretty traditional. And so for us, it's really about creating space and alternatives where girls can actually envision being able to do things. And that includes things like sports. We see that when girls hit puberty, oftentimes what happens is communities and parents become very protective, and they see girls in this very in kind of just valuing them based on their physical aspects and their sexuality, and not really being able to envision their productive power and the power they bring as citizens of the community.
Let's take a look then, perhaps as a way of wrapping up, as to where you would like to see this go from here. The obvious question is, okay, there are other parts of the store in addition to the toy department where things are labeled for boys and girls. Clothes, for instance. Now, a lot of parents who are rushing around having just done back to school shopping might think, hey, this really helps me find where I need to go to find the clothes for my kids. It's not exclusionary. It's helping me find the right place in a great big store. So are you saying we ought to end all gender-based signage, or just in areas where it's pretty clear boys and girls can really enjoy the same things?
That's a great question. You know, my Facebook feed is just, it's so interesting. You kind of see the reactions friends have. And, you know, I have a six-year-old daughter, and we have tons of friends who have young children. And in that aspect, I have to say, I mean, personally, I think really the more we can reduce the signage, the better, because again, I think we create more inclusive spaces. My daughter wanted a Pokemon shirt, but guess what? It's not in the boys' section. It's not in the girls' section. I have to go look for it. But, you know, so to me, it's like girls and boys have very different interests depending on the individual child. I can see parents having concerns about, well, the sizes are different. Well, every girl and boy's body is different. And I think...
And certainly with younger kids, you might be able to make the argument of, okay, they could probably swap clothes
absolutely.
Easily. But when they get a little older, it's a little different.
I think it's usually like as they become adolescents, and then you might have differences. However, I mean, my big concern too, though, is if you walk into stores, and because we're kind of separating it, what you see is girls' clothes, even like juniors' clothes for 7-8-year-olds, are highly sexualized clothing. And that is very disturbing, too. And I think
but
when
is that a separate issue?
It is a separate but linked issue, because if they weren't separated, I wonder how much space there would be for sexualizing clothes of 7-year-olds.
Did you find the Pokemon shirt for your daughter?
I did, in the boys' section at Target.
And did she like it?
She loves it.
Dr. Nadal Kareem, she's with the Atlanta-based CARE. She's a Gender and Empowerment Impact Measurement Senior Advisor. That's quite a title.
It's a crazy title.
That's quite a business card you must have.
Thanks for coming in and taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And Dennis, it goes to show that when I got my football, when mm-hmm. I was 6 years old, it was very important.
It was. Absolutely. 83 degrees, partly cloudy skies right now, and we do have a chance for some heavy weather later on. We've already got some showers and thunderstorms in northwest Georgia right now. Some of those on the heavy side, a few showers on the lighter side, scattered around the metro area and off to the east. But we have that possibility of a heavy thunderstorm as we move into the evening. Some scattered thunderstorms also possible this afternoon, and some of those could be on the heavy side. High today in the low 80s, overnight low near 70. From the WABE Traffic Center, east side perimeter, northbound just past Lawrenceville Highway. An earlier accident with injuries is off to the right. That's backing things up for Memorial Drive. I-85 southbound at Beaver Ruin Road. Watch out for an accident. It's off to the right. And also in Gwinnett County, Satellite Boulevard at Pleasant Hill Road. Watch out for a wreck.
And we've just been talking about gender-based signage and Target's decision to remove it. Tell us what you think. Call us at 404-733-0934. That's 404-733-0934. Press the number 2 and tell us what you think. This is Closer Look.